Thank you, Jonathan. I just finished dropping all my notes, so if it's a little bit jumbled, you'll forgive me. It's wonderful. We can sing about that wonderful Lord Jesus who tries to mold each of us. He is the potter, we are the clay. And if you know anything about clay, it's not easy. It's always got rocks in it. It's got imperfections. But yet, God is able to work around. Work around all those little imperfections in our life. And if we are willing, He is able to use us to for His honor and glory. I thank for everybody that's come up to me and says, "How's it going?" And I says, "Thanks for your concerns, but I'll tell you in about half an hour." So, as a result, you have to bear with me for the next few minutes. Lord willing, that what I say and what we listen to will be honoring to God. Let's ask for His guidance and answer. Ask Him for to help each one of us. Our loving God and Heavenly Father, we truly thank You that we have gathered together to hear not what Your servant is saying, but words from You. Father, we pray that these words would speak to our hearts and help us. And oh, Father, be with Thy speaker, that what he says would be honoring and pleasing to You, and help each one of us as we take those words and apply it to our lives, that we would be blessed. For we ask in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Well, it's been about, 2-3 years since my wife and I really joined this meeting, and I think it's time to say a little bit about my testimony and what the Lord has done in my life. I'm fairly new to Heather, so you have to pardon me that I do not remember names or faces, but God has blessed me. I have a wife that does remember names and does remember faces, and he's the one that provides to fill in my weaknesses. I am but a feeble person, not only of age, but of mind. So please bear with us. I like to speak about a spoiled kid that turned to a willing servant. I was going to use the word princeling, but I found out that it's a slang word, so it's not really appropriate. So, you ask, what is a spoiled child? And I look it up and it says, it is one that has a harmed character as a result of being treated too leniently or indulgently. Put up your hands if you fit in there. Nobody has been treated nice when there was a kid? Oh, yes. Thank you. I have a a child of heart. For the next half hour, I'd like to talk about a child that was initially born and coddled but willingly developed into a willing servant. I say developed. Just after the end of the Second World War in southern China, a baby was born. A baby boy was born to a medium-rich family. One more insignificant mouth added to an already country that had 525 million mouths to feed, and during a war-torn time. That's not the best of times to be born. But I had no choice. This baby is child number 5. He was preceded by 3 brothers and a sister. As the baby grew, he was doted by his older sister. Talk of an overindulgent kid. Life would change very abruptly. I think my sister treated me like a little doll or a little baby. You know, baby doll looked after me. But then you get a little bit older, you get a little bit more rebellious. And I think she regretted that I was a troublesome kid. Continue on. Just before the communist forces took over control of our village in southern China, this family fled to Hong Kong. We got out by the skin of our teeth, and plus we left with just the clothes on our back. I don't think anybody here really went through that period. They can't react like it, but I was very small then. And you think back, gee, did God create a civil war to get me out of that country to Canada where I could hear the gospel? It's a bit of a stretch, but you start to think God's hand moves in very mysterious ways in the thoughts of man. Why would God want me to come to Canada? I ask. I'm sure there's many immigrants here in this congregation. Have you ever asked the question, why has God brought me here? There's a reason. In Canada at 1950, there was a population of 13 million. Compare that to 525 million in China. What could an additional 5-year-old do to influence anything in this country? I was insignificant. Especially one that didn't even know one word of English when he set foot on this country. Not one word. But God had plans for me and also for each one of you in this room. Don't think you can get away with it. God has a plan for you. Do you fit in it? Are you willing to fit in it? Can God use you? I'm sure He can. Because if you're not able, He will give you tools and skills that will enable you to do it. He is the master engineer. And I would defy anybody to say that I am of no use to God. Because that would be a slap in the face of one that created heavens and earth. Not only did He create it, He maintains it. Even though man more than often pollutes the land, creates things that makes this land not function as properly as possible. Nothing happens in our lives without Him knowing it. Yes, You think that you have everything figured out, but don't fool yourself. Nothing happens without God's knowledge and approval. He allows certain things to happen in this world for His pleasure, for His plan to be fulfilled. In Luke 12 and 7, we're reminded, it says, "But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." I don't know, my hair is getting a little bit thinner and a little bit shorter, but He is so concerned with us that He even takes that little detail in allowing things to happen. Has things occurred in your life that have made you think of where God fits in your plan? Or more important, where you fit in God's plan? In 1950, when I came to Canada with my mother and other siblings, I was too young to say, "Now what?" When, lo and behold, when I was about 8 or 9 and playing on the street like all kids at that time, I have a grandchild, grandson, and I never see him playing on the road. He's always on the sofa playing with his cell phone. But at one time in life, in history of Canada, children went out on the streets and played. Remember making soapbox cars going right down the hill, and God was so gracious to me that I didn't get killed in doing some of those acts. But I know that my life was in His hands. It happened one day. At that time, came a lady driving a 1954 Chrysler DeSoto. I think Carl might remember what that looked like. I don't think anybody else knows what a 1954 DeSoto car looks like. She wound down the windows and talked to me and invited me to come to Sunday school. She was a stranger coming up to a young child. Oh, how times have changed. Today, you wouldn't dare do that. But God allows things to happen, and it was for the good. Little did I know that God was opening the next chapter with the next big change in my life. I have to admit, I was a typical kid. I remember the make of the car, but to this day, I cannot recall her name. One day in heaven, I will meet her and thank her. That's the time when I can be thankful for her. And I'll remember her, remind her that her car was the 54 DeSoto. I went to Sunday school, and I was the only Chinese kid in Sunday school for many years. I don't remember ever seeing another Chinese kid in that church. We have here, I think, at least 6 or 7 different nationalities. But being the one and only Sunday school kid that was Chinese was... But I didn't feel strange. Why? Because God had prepared the hearts of those that administer, looked after the flock there, didn't see any difference. I was a child, I was going to become a child of God. I hadn't committed myself to Him yet, but I did not feel strange. Yes, I did feel strange in that they spoke a different language. They talked about different things that my culture didn't even ask or say. But eventually, I learned. Yes, Sunday school lessons were sometimes repetitive. Have you ever been told, saying that, I told you so, you don't remember? Well, there's a purpose for repetition. It's to get into the thick skull between these ears. God was working slowly in miraculous ways in my life. The biblical truths that I learned in Sunday school influenced me in a positive way. I didn't know anything about the Bible at that early age, but I went and slowly learned of the God that loved me and wanted to protect me and care for me, and that He is always around, and all I need was to call upon Him when I needed help. He is but a breath away for anybody that would desire His help. In Isaiah 55 and verse 6, it says, "Seek ye the Lord while He be found. Call upon Him while He is near." In my simplistic, childlike manner, one stormy winter night, and for those who lived in Victoria, yeah, the weather is great there. But in the wintertime, there could be some winter storms blowing in from the west. You get howling winds. You can get pelting rain. And this was one of those nights. The rain was pelting against the window, just like somebody going, "No, no, 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 no." And I was afraid. I was afraid of what would happen to me should I die that night. I was a young kid then. What are you going to do? God revealed to me the importance that life doesn't go on forever. There is a finite period of time that God allows you to be on this earth. And at a young age, I was afraid. But I slowly learned of God's love to me and wanted to protect me and care for me, and He always around when I needed Him. In fear that night, lying in bed, I asked God to look after me. Now, that's been simple. Call upon me. That's what God asks you to do. From that night on and after that short, simple prayer to God, I had allowed God to come into my life, and He started to guide me to follow His ways. There was no hallelujahs. There was no trumpet calls or angels singing. Just a simple cry to God by a small, insignificant child who did not fully understand the steps that a sinner needs to do to be committed to the Lord's way. It was simple. God doesn't make it difficult for a person to understand salvation or a commitment to walk in a way that's pleasing to Him. Because if He did make it difficult, we could make an excuse. I didn't understand. I remember, I don't know how many times I was told, teacher says, don't you understand? God makes it simple. Because He doesn't want to confuse anybody. He doesn't want anybody to say, I didn't know how to be saved. I allowed God to come to my life, and He started to guide me to follow His ways. I didn't know anything about confession. That word was long. Or justification. Or sanctification. I'm not belittling the terms, which I would learn later, and the importance of them in a believer's life. You just think of, remember the thief on the cross? What could he do on the cross? He just asked the Lord to remember him when the Lord goes to heaven. He didn't go in the river, into the water of baptism. He didn't make great speeches. But the Lord says, thou wilt be with me in paradise today. Simple. People try to make it more complicated than it is. What happened to me the next morning after I asked God to look after me? Were there any noticeable changes in my life the next day? I can honestly say there wasn't. I didn't notice any changes physically. You know, I got up, had breakfast, which was served to me on the table. I went to school. Life didn't change that much physically, but it changed me spiritually in my body. I didn't fully understand it, but there was a change. You say, what? No obvious dramatic changes during my life? I am fortunate that God had prepared the way and changed my life and changed things that come into my life. Because He looks after me. And I can say, you control what happens to me. So you're in charge. And during my life, I was fortunately spared of the typical cravings like lying, drinking, smoking. Those things didn't have any desire. I don't know why, but I was like any other child. Did I live a perfect life? By all means, no. In spite of things, I did sin. I did lie. But I thank the Lord for keeping me on the straight and narrow. Was I perfect? No. Did it go my way once in a while? Yes. But God is the great forgiver. I believe the time and effort that the more mature, committed believers that were in my life, they spent helping convey to me the fact that God's word was honest and trustworthy, that it could be dependable. All those folks, they are all gone to be with the Lord now. But I'm glad I have an opportunity to thank them for all their efforts in molding my young life. I would never be the same if they didn't come to me, show me from the scriptures that which was important, that helped me through the cultural differences. Because I grew up in a very British city of Victoria. I mean, we used to laugh that when you went from Victoria to Oak Bay, you had to go through the Tweed Curtain. And many of these, and I'm thankful, many of these believers were from Britain. And they had learned in Britain the ways that of being a Christian and the background of being a Christian and how to act, not act, but live a life of a Christian. And they molded my young life. I ask for those that are here that are believers, are you willing and able to do your share of guidance and setting the correct examples for the next generation that we have here? My brother asked me, what are you going to speak on? I said, something that will make sure that will tweak your heart and make you committed to think of why I am here and why God has put you here. There's a reason. I cannot count how many Sunday school lessons that I attended during my youth. The many accounts of biblical characters with all their goods and bad points in their lives that influenced my life. Which to follow, which to emulate, and which not to emulate. Why does God say, or what does God say about guiding a young child? In Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Verse is not only a warning, but there is also a promise. If you raise a child to be a brat, do not expect him to grow up a gentleman. In preparing this message, I came upon an article with six points that we could follow when working with others. One, it says, lead by example. And a parenthesis, it says, make sure that example is good first. Two, show them critical thinking skills to develop the gifts that God has given them. In other words, prepare them to be useful for God. Three, teach them how to love others by loving them unconditionally. Four, help them serve others. Five, share your faith with them based on scriptural principles. And six, pray with them and for them. How important it is to guide the next generation. You may notice that up to this point, I have not mentioned when I came before God and actually confessed my sins and asked for forgiveness. I truthfully can't remember the actual first time that that happened. But it's been many times that I've asked for forgiveness and thanked Him for the salvation. I am forever glad that He is true to His words and have forgiven me. In fact, He has exceeded what He says in Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22, says about forgiving one another. Poor Peter, he asked the Lord, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" The Lord says, "For seven times?" And the Lord says unto him, "I say not unto thee, until 70 times 70. How many is that? Come on, mathematicians. How many times is 7 times 70?
490.
490. Oh, okay. How many times have you got left? Have you used up your 490? Fortunately, God doesn't limit Himself to 490 times to forgive us. I've got living proof of that. How gracious God is to each one of us. Coming back to the point is, why are we here? The world says, "Oh, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." Or are we willing to allow God in our life and change us from a self-centered person to a willing servant for God? It requires divine intervention on God's part, to do that transformation if we allow Him. God doesn't force it upon us or anybody, but He would love to transform each one of us. Today, you're sitting in this pew. Are you doing it just to pass time? Maybe your parents made you come. Or has God moved you to come to hear the message that God loves you and wants to settle the nagging question of what will happen to you after this life? This question happened to me 70 years ago, And I made that faithful decision to ask God to control my life, to guide me. And it's been great, and I recommend it to you. Church attendance will not make things right between you and God. But if you're seeking, you can find that. What would you say? Happiness in Christ? Contentment? If you're not sure of your life's journey and want to experience the joy of knowing what God's forgiveness of the wrongs that you have done in your life, you can ask Him. You can by asking Him by a simple prayer to God right now. If you need help, stay back behind after this meeting and we can help you. Don't delay. Let us, I'm going to close in prayer. And after that, we'll be dismissed. Just a couple minutes, and you'll forgive me for going over. Let's pray, please. Thank you, God, that your word, the Bible, reveals to us of your love for causing you to provide the salvation through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross, so that sinners can, by faith, have complete forgiveness of their sins by asking you for it. Your Holy Bible says so in John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And then we ask that those that have not asked for free salvation, that they would ask it today. And those that belong to you may have a yearning to live a Christ-centered life, with a desire to serve their Savior. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.